I'm glad you brought that up, because if you just look at the pure numbers, I go back week one, we had one matchup where both teams ranked in the AP top 25. Last week we had two, and both of those matchups, all four teams in the top 12. So the afternoon affair, the game that you were at as far as A&M at Clemson, and then Saturday night we were treated to a very, very nice game with LSU Texas. This week there's none, zero. And you go, okay, it's going to be a lousy week for college football. I love some of the storylines that we're going to see. How about a USC team and the way Keaton Slovis has played so far? I mean, here's a USC team. They're ranked after last week's winning by 25 against Stanford. I mean, they were down 17-3 in this game and outscored Stanford 42-3 the rest of the way. And this week they're at BYU. So when you look at the landscape of college football, yeah, no top 25 matchups, but there's still some very intriguing games coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, so USC, you don't have that kind of comeback against Stanford if you're not playing physically. And they did that, and that's been Clay Helton's issue the last few years, is the physicality on both lines of scrimmage. And with BYU tomorrow, Utah in two in a week after that, and then Washington, who had a horrible loss to Cal, kind of killing the Pac-12's playoff hopes outside of Utah and USC. You start to say, can USC split some of these games? And the fact that they pounded Stanford gives you good hope for them beating BYU, which it's not like BYU, took it to Tennessee. They got pretty lucky. So as far as USC goes, I wonder if they're about to make a stand to save Clay Helton's job. I'm also interested in Iowa hosting Iowa State. I love that game every single year. It's, Iowa State's prepared to beat Big 12 teams, and then Iowa every year they have to deal with a run-heavy, ground and pound, really physical style. Meanwhile, Iowa has to deal with Iowa State spread concepts. There's some NFL talent on that field in Ames, and it's a good time slot too, 3:00 Central. So that's probably the one I'm going to be having my eye on the most.
Yeah, Iowa State, certainly an upstart program under Coach Campbell, especially over the last couple of years, but Iowa still has controlled this rivalry in the recent years as well, looking to make it five straight. The other part, though, Iowa State, they play opponents tough. They play them close. In fact, I think they have the longest streak in the nation now. Was it four straight games that are decided by one score or something like that? Here's the thing. Iowa's favored by a point and a half. I just still think that Iowa's better than Iowa State at this juncture.
I think, I don't know. I'm taking Iowa State. I think they're ready defensively now, and I think they have the quarterback in Brock Purdy to out-duel Nate Stanley. And I also think that's one of the best fan bases in college football. They've got College Game Day there for the first time ever. A lot of people don't know this. Iowa State, as far as capacity, its football stadium is the third biggest in the Big 12. I think it's going to be really, really, really loud, really crazy. I think they're going to ride that home crowd to a win.
I was talking about some of the early storylines as far as the college football season, the start for Maryland. Yeah, they beat Howard, no big deal. They demolished Syracuse last week. We're talking about Syracuse was a ranked team last week. Here's Maryland beating then 21st-ranked Syracuse by 43, 63-20. And now Maryland a chance to go 3-0 on the season. Mike Locksley, last time we saw him, he was a part of the Alabama staff. And he's on the road with his Terrapins this week at Temple. I see them going to 3-0 to start the year.
Yeah, and then they would have Penn State next.
Yeah.
So I think Syracuse was maybe looking a little bit ahead to Clemson in week three, because Syracuse thought maybe it had College Game Day coming to the Carrier Dome. Maryland has a lot of talent. Barton Simmons was tweeting about this the other day. They're in the top 30 in the 24/7 Sports Composite Team Talent Index. So maybe we shouldn't be that surprised. I also do think that of the former Alabama offensive minds in last year, in Mike Locksley and Josh Gattis. Josh Gattis, who went to Michigan as the offensive coordinator, kind of got all the love. And everyone sort of slept on the impact Mike Locksley could have. And those two even sort of traded barbs. And Mike Locksley is clearly coming out ahead. They've got a good quarterback. They've got a lot of talent. I think it's a very legit chance that they're one of the best teams in the Big Ten, which is not what the other teams in the Big Ten East were expecting. And so it's a potential thorn in their side now, too.
By the way, having a chance to talk some college football with Trey Scott with 247sports.com. You said you were at the A&M Clemson game, and yeah, I understand that A&M scores late to make that a 14-point differential with Clemson winning 24-10. But the problem for me was the fact that Kellen Mond, who played outstanding last year, you know, he was having leg cramps, which, you know, because it's hotter in Texas than it is at Clemson, but having the leg cramps, missed a touchdown pass in the first half. It's those kind of things. If you want to upset the number one team in their house, you have to make those kind of plays. So, yeah, I love the fact that Jimbo Fisher had his group fighting at the end. But, you know, the early missed opportunities to me was the difference, and the fact that the way Kellen Mond played in those first 30 minutes didn't really give his team a lot of hope that they could pull that victory out. Where if you had not missed the open receiver, you know, you just don't know how the game would have played out differently with momentum.
Yeah, it took Clemson's defense a little bit to kind of get steady. It was doing the whole bend but don't break thing, but then figured it out. And Brent Venables started dialing up pressure from all sorts of places. The corner blitz was killing Kellen Mond. He didn't see it coming once. But you're right, and I was sort of struck by the fact that Kellen Mond, and let me assure you, by the way, it was very, very hot as someone from Texas. It was very, very hot. But Kellen Mond never once, in my mind, looked like the guy who he was last year. And I never once even considered Kellen Mond as a rushing threat in that game, which is weird because you would think he would be able to do both. He controlled neither facet of the game on Saturday, and that's why Texas A&M lost. It's one of the reasons why they lost. But, you know, yes, he missed throws. He missed plenty of throws, but he did nothing with his legs, and you kind of felt like he had to be able to do at least a little of that to keep Clemson honest, but he couldn't, and so Brent Venables just started teeing off on him, and they had no answer for that.
You know, Trey, you're mentioning some of these other intriguing games that they're on this landscape. One, you know, by name only, looks like this would be fun with, here's fifth-ranked Oklahoma on the road taking on Chip Kelly's UCLA squad. On paper, just seeing those names, yeah, thumbs up. Except when you realize that there's only one team playing in this game, and that being Oklahoma, I'm still trying to figure out. I understand UCLA has a lot of freshmen and sophomores. When coaches talk about how we're a young team, Chip Kelly can say that and be really truthful when he says that. But still, we're tired of waiting for UCLA to actually get good again.
Yeah, that's a 23.5-point line. It was over the summer, it was like 13 or 15. UCLA is dead in the water. They don't look like they have any life to them. They're not doing any of the things that Chip Kelly, that we thought he would be bringing to L.A. They returned their running back in week two, Joshua Kelly, who they didn't have in week one when they lost to Cincinnati, and he only had like 50 yards. The quarterback plays a nightmare. And to make all of this even worse, UCLA is not recruiting very well at all. I think everyone knows that and just throwing out the numbers right now. Their class is like 60th. Last year was 40th. So not only is Chip Kelly not getting any talent on the Bruins, but he's not coaching the way he was 10 years ago. And you wonder, I think it's very fair to wonder, has the game passed him by in the 10 years that Chip Kelly was gone from college football when he was in the NFL and away? Has everyone else caught up? I think so. And I think Saturday is going to be sort of a brutal reminder of him for that, because here comes Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is, in a way, doing the college football what Chip Kelly did 10 years ago and maybe doing it in a more profound manner offensively. And I think Chip Kelly is about to get schooled. And I don't know what the odds are right now on UCLA bettering last year's 3-9 record, but I might take I might take three or less as well, Johnny.
By the way, before we let you go, there is the potential for a top 10 upset if you just look at what the odds makers are believing in this game. But Kentucky, by the way, holding a one-game winning streak against the Florida Gators. Four out of the last five times these two teams met, games deciding in the fourth quarter, including the last time Florida was in Lexington back in the 2017 season. I bring it up, the Gators only 8-point favorites at Kentucky. Everybody just assumes Terry Wilson is out as far as at quarterback. That means problems for that Kentucky Wildcats team. Sawyer Smith has experience, the transfer in to Kentucky. You know, to me, I think we're going to make it 5 out of 6 where this game is decided in the fourth quarter in Lexington tomorrow night.
Yeah, 2017 is when Kentucky inexplicably forgot to cover some Florida receivers.
Not once, but twice. They had 10 men on the field. Not once, but twice, 10 men on the field on those scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, they might. They should have won the last two over Florida. I like Kentucky covering. Sawyer Smith, Kentucky fans, I work with a few of them. They're really excited about this guy. They think he's got some guts and some moxie. He's not going to be Terry Wilson as far as the dynamic ability on the ground, but he should be able to throw it and keep him in it. Florida didn't really learn much from their game last week. And then before that, it was that week zero slugfest against Miami. So how much has Florida improved? How much has Felipe Franks improved? It's been almost a month since then. I do think that of all the top 10 games, that's definitely the one with the best chance of happening. I know I said Iowa State as far as games of the week. It might be Florida-Kentucky.